these various gizmos. I'm not very good with technical stuff. Let's just pray, shall we, as we open up God's word together. God, our Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to come together to sit under the authority of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that the words that you've given me to speak, the written words, would point us to Jesus Christ, who is indeed the living word, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. Is there anybody here this morning who's been to a rock concert? Oh, right, quite a few. Who have you seen? Let's start. Yes, who have you seen? Yes. Who? Oh, yeah, okay. Who's next? I know you put your hand up.
Nuts.
Never heard of them. Nuts. Have you heard of Nuts? No? Oh, okay. No. Yeah, who else put their hand up? I've forgotten that. Yes, Andy.
Dire Straits.
That's, I do recognise Dire Straits, yeah. Who else? Who?
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, right, okay. And Eleanor? Who? Right, okay, yeah, fine. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, I don't know what your musical taste is, or whether you've even got a musical taste. Some people don't relate to music at all. Other people do. And my musical taste, I have to be frank with you, is very varied. I can go from anything. I love organ music. Anybody like organ music? Or is it just me? Oh, we've got a few people. I like certain classical music. Oh, yeah, a few hands for that, yeah. But I also like, somebody mentioned Dire Straits, so I don't mind that. Lane and I went to a concert a few years ago, I think it was a few years ago now, see James Taylor. Do you remember James Taylor? I love the music of James Taylor. Go see James Taylor, by the way. He hasn't changed a bit. He's my age, but he hasn't changed a bit. His music is fantastic. And as the years go by and you get older, your taste in music, it seems to me, does change. Now, I've always been a person who I love listening to music. Now, when I was self-employed and running my own business and I was working people's houses, I always used to have the radio on. Some of you who I've done work for will know that. And I always used to say, is it okay if I have my radio on? Because I like listening to music. And that gave me exposure to a lot of different types of music. Now, is it the right one I press on this? Let's see what happens. Right, anybody know who this is? Who's that? Ed, who? Ed Sheeran. Now, I've come across, anybody not heard of Ed Sheeran? Put up your hand. Oh, two. Right, even Charles has heard of Ed Sheeran. Have you heard of Ed Sheeran? Oh, well done, Charles. Good for you. Right. I've heard some of Ed Sheeran's songs over the past probably 10 years now. And I think what drew me to his songs in the first place was that he wrote a song, and his songs are very personal. He wrote a song about the death of his grandmother. And as I listened to the words of that song over and over again, it made me think about my relationship to my grandmother, because my grandmother I love very much, because she brought me and my sister up, basically. So when she died, obviously it was a sad thing. And that song that Ed Sheeran wrote really resonated with me. So I've started to listen to a bit more of his music. Some of his songs I don't like, but a lot of them I do like. They're very nice to listen to, very easy to listen to. Now, if you go to a concert, you would normally find on that same bill that there is what's called a supporting act, or a band, or an artist, yeah? You would normally find they wouldn't normally appear on their own. And I checked, and anybody know who that is? Jamie Lawson? Anybody heard of Jamie Lawson? Right, oh, okay. Well, He has written a lot of songs, and they perform, Ed Sheeran and Jamie Lawson perform a lot of songs together. And this lady, I'd never heard of, Anne-Marie. Oh, few nods. You've heard of Anne-Marie. Oh, well done. Oh, well done, you've heard of Anne-Marie. I'd never heard of her at all. I don't know. I'm sure she's very nice. But Ed Sheeran, I discovered the other day, is going on a world tour starting next year. And all the venues he's going to in the UK, if anybody wants to buy me a ticket, I'm quite like to go. All the venues he's going to, he has booked Jamie Lawson and Anne-Marie to be his supporting act. So if you think about what is a supporting act, what do? They come on before the main man of the evening, which in this case would be Ed Sheeran. They come on to set the scene, don't they? They come to lift the tempo of the room. A bit like Ian's done for me this morning. It gives them and their music a bit of exposure, doesn't it? Otherwise, they wouldn't get to hear about it. And we've been looking, have we not, over the past few weeks at John's Gospel, we've been looking at a similar sort of thing happening in those early chapters. We've heard about this man called John the Baptist. And he's a strange man, isn't he? Because we're told he dressed in a funny way. But he had a message. He had a message to say to people. And he was basically saying to them, get ready. Get prepared. Something is about to happen. John the Baptist wasn't the main star of the show. He wasn't the main attraction. That was still to happen. And in that chapter that we read from, if you've got it in front of you, then just open it, chapter 3. We're looking at verse 22 to 36. We discover that there's been a problem. A problem has arisen. John the Baptist has been this sort of warm-up artist, if you like, for Jesus. He's come to prepare the way. But then we're told in those early verses that there appears to be a problem. There's been an argument has broken out between what's called their John's followers, because they have heard that the star, the main attraction, has appeared somewhere else and is preaching the gospel. And they're getting worried because they think that they are going to be pushed off the scene. Because they hadn't understood, had they? They had failed to understand that their role was not to be the main center of attraction. It was just to prepare people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to share some thoughts with you around that verse, which I think we've got on here. This verse here. He must become greater, I must become less. These were the words spoken by John. In other words, it's time for me to leave the stage. I've done what God asked me to do. It's now time for Jesus to fulfill his role. Why was it important for John to step down? Because he wasn't the Christ. He wasn't God. He wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that he had to step down was that every single one of us sitting in this building today has a problem. And it's a big, big problem. And it's a strange word. It's called sin. Funny word, isn't it? It's a strange word. I mean, when was the last time you invited a friend out for coffee, or you had a chat with a friend on the phone, and you said to them, how are you getting on with sin in your life? Have you had that conversation? When was the last... No, it's serious stuff. When was the last time that you spoke to somebody or somebody spoke to you about sin? But what is sin? It's a funny word, isn't it? Well, let's just look at those letters, shall we? S-I-N. Three little letters. Even the children can read that. Let's just centre on the middle one, shall we, for a moment? The letter I. I. Point to yourself. I. Me. Sin starts with every single one of us. There isn't one of us that can say, I'm not like that. How many of us, on occasions, we've not been puffed up with pride? I know better than you. You're wrong, I'm right. What about greed? What about envy? What about lust? What about murder? You know, the Bible says that you can murder someone in your heart if you think evil of them. How many of us can say we have never, ever done that? What about addiction? Addiction to drink or drugs or sex or the love of money or power. It has a hold on all of our lives. So sin begins with you and me. And it's something that we have to get to grips with in our lives. Because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 59, verse 2, he says, Your sins have separated you from God. Your sins mean he has hidden his face from you. So sin is something that we all have to deal with. None of us are exempt. Here's a little illustration of what I mean. My assistant.
Glamorous assistant.
My wife. Thank you. Imagine that glass of water is your life. Isn't that the way we'd love our lives to be? Clean and pure and fresh and good to drink? Is it pretty good to drink? Good, good. But our lives are not like that, are they? Our lives are... Go for it. Our lives are like that, aren't they? Our lives are cloudy and they're stained. And that's the way we could remain. And we will never, ever be free of sin. But we can commit it to the Lord Jesus. Watch what happens when we allow the Lord Jesus into our lives. He pours his Holy Spirit into our lives. What happens to our sin? He washes it away. He washes our sin away. The sad thing is, though, do we remain like that? We sin again. And so we cry out, Lord, fill me again with your Holy Spirit. And so he pours his Holy Spirit into our hearts again. And we say, more Lord, fill me up, make me clean. That's a simple illustration of sin in our lives. I love this verse in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says this, though your sins are red like scarlet, a bit like that water, yet they shall be as pure, white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like pure new wool. If we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives, he can begin to deal with the sin in our lives. The big problem, though, is He can only do that if we allow him. He can only do that if we allow him to come into our lives. There's a verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, and he says this. I'm sure a lot of you know this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, in other words, if anyone opens up their hearts and lives to him, he said, I'll come in. I will come in and I will begin to make you clean. But the problem is that a lot of us are not prepared to do that. We keep the Lord Jesus Christ at arm's length. We keep him in our comfort zone where he can't cause us too much trouble. When I was 17 years old, which was many, many years ago, there was a friend of mine called Andrew. He was our organist and he was a committed Christian. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart. And I knew him really well. And we got to know each other as really good friends. And one day he challenged me. And he said to me, Martin, you do a lot of stuff in the church. You go to church every week. You help with the young people's work. I can recite the Lord's Prayer. I can recite the Creed. I can be doing all the right stuff. But he asked me, he challenged me, and he said, have you ever asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life? And he really challenged me. And he went on to explain to me the need for me to open my heart to the Lord Jesus. Not to keep him on the edge of my life, but to bring him in to my life. Because only when we do that can he begin to deal with the sin in our lives. And maybe you say to yourself, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. I come to church on Sunday. I like singing the hymns. Doesn't make you a Christian. The only thing that makes you a Christian is getting on your knees before God and kneeling down and ask him to come into your life. And I thought about that for a few months. And then I approached Andrew and I said, Andrew, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And we knelt down about here. This church wasn't like, there was a rail here. And I knelt here and he knelt with me. And he put his hands on me and we prayed the ABC prayer of commitment to Christ. Don't know if you've ever heard of the ABC prayer of commitment to Christ. A, admit that in God's sight, you're a sinner. And you need the power of his love and forgiveness to come into your life. Admit. Just admit it. B, believe. Believe that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross. To set us free. That we might be made acceptable to God. Our sins are forgiven. And C, from that moment on, to commit my life to following him. A, B, C. It's as simple as that. So, our verse this morning. He must become greater. I must become less. I wonder, would you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to really have access to your life? so that he can begin that work of healing and restoring you and making you the person that he wants you to be, to fulfill all the hopes and dreams and use all the talents and the gifts you've got in building his church? Or are you just going to keep him at arm's length and say, stay there, Lord. I'll just come back to you in another week's time when I sit in the church again. It's tough, isn't it? It's a hard decision. I can only lay before you this morning what I believe the scripture is saying. He must increase and I must decrease. Only you know in your heart where you stand with God. That's really all I want to say. But I'm going to say a closing prayer. And it's the prayer that Andrew prayed with me when I knelt down here at these steps when I was 17. And I'm going to pray that prayer, and maybe you want to pray it for yourself. Maybe you want to make this the point in your life where you say, Lord, you've spoken through your word. I want you to become greater in my life. I want to be less. If you want to do that, then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray that prayer a line at a time. And after each line, I'm just going to allow a pause. And you can pray that prayer in the quiet of your own heart because it's between you and God. It's between you and God. But what I would say to you, if you do pray that prayer, don't keep it to yourself. Go and tell someone. Go and tell someone what you've done. Why do I say that? Because it's important that there are other brothers and sisters in Christ who are praying for you. Go and seek out someone that you know is a committed Christian and loves the Lord so that they can pray. And the Bible says there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not know their need of God. So if you do that this morning, there'll be rejoicing in heaven. It's between you and God. Let's just bow our heads and pray together, shall we? I said, I'm just going to pray this prayer a line at a time and there'll be a pause in between. And if you want to pray that in the quiet of your own heart, I pray you do it now. Lord Jesus, I admit that in God's sight, I am a sinner. I believe that God sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross, to take upon himself the punishment for my sins. And from this moment on, I commit my life to following you. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell Ian. If you want to come speak to us, that's fine. If you don't, because that's between you and God. But if you want people to pray for you, maybe that would be a good thing to do. Because we've prayed that prayer, it doesn't mean to say, just like with that little illustration there. It doesn't mean to say that we will be free of battling with our sinfulness. It's not going to vanish overnight. In point of fact, it might get a bit tougher because you're trying to live your life by a different set of values. But what you can know is that you're no longer on your own. God has heard your prayer and he will be walking alongside you. And you will know that there are other people praying for you. He must increase, or he must become greater, I must become less. I wonder, where does that figure in your life? Thank you for listening.